This week's episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by Annie's Kits Club. Annie's provides monthly kit subscriptions that are for crafters of all ages and crafters who have all sorts of interests. To get 75% off your first month's subscription, go to annieskitclubs.com and use the code SEWINGOUTLOUD75. That's all caps, Sewing Out Loud, and the numbers 75.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And for those of you who, if this is not like the first podcast you're listening to on May 6th or 7th of 2022, we have been away for a while. Thanks for waiting for us. people have been messaging and stuff.
People have been asking if we're okay. They've been missing us.
We're glad to be back. We're glad you missed us. We're thankful that you messaged. We're very glad to be back. All of that. Glad to be talking to you. Do you want to talk to him about Fanny a little bit? Maybe just tell people about
Fiona.
Fiona. I guess I made up Fanny. That's Fiona's sister. Fiona's like sixth middle name or something.
Probably. Okay. Because it's all alliteration.
Sorry. So, excuse me. Want to tell him about Fiona?
If I give her full name, we have to make this.
Maybe modify.
Yeah, okay.
I guess I can do that. People can use their imaginations.
So along about the first week in March, I thought I hurt my arm. I carried like 15 bags of groceries in on one arm, and I thought, oh, I overdid it. You know, the 69-year-old arm can't take that. Who do I think I am? You know, but at the time, my hip was hurting, so I didn't want to make too many trips.
Okay. CD was
this
all
This is like
up.
The organ recital, everybody. No, it's everything that's wrong with my body.
We were already having a little trouble getting stuff done because of your hip.
Yes. Like. This is like ridiculous.
And then
it's like crash boom. So anyway, you know, I'm like, wow, I can't believe my arm hurts like this. And then I started to write something because I do this like labeling funny notes to myself thing after I grocery shop. Okay, like, you know, I will write down asparagus and cucumbers because they're in the garage fridge and I don't want to forget whatever I want to do. Anyway. I go to write, and I can't write. And I'm like, oh, my God, am I having a stroke? You know, if I can't write and my arm hurts. So I run into the bathroom, and I start smiling in the mirror, and I was symmetrical, and I stick my tongue out, and I was straight on, and I was like, what is wrong with me? So I pull up my sleeve, and I have this lump. It's like in my forearm, right below my elbow, just distal to my elbow. So I'm like, no, that's a lump. I could see it. And then, of course, I put up my other sleeve on the other side. And I'm like, yeah, they're not the same. So I'm not symmetrical, but I don't think this is a stroke.
It's a gross picture that I took of your arm.
Right. So I didn't say anything. And I tried to, like, you know, calm down and thought, well, you know, when this pain stops and I feel better or whatever I did to my arm, I'll be able to write again. Well, I couldn't. So I couldn't write. And then I noticed, like, I could not spread my fingers on that hand, that I had, like, no control over my pinky finger and my ring finger on that hand. And I'm like, oh, man, I have popped a tendon. Because I always diagnose myself, right?
Yeah.
So I've popped a tendon. So Mallory struts over, I don't know, a couple hours later, and I go, hey, look at my arm. And she goes, oh, my God, what'd you do? And I go, I don't know. I guess I popped a tendon or something, but there wasn't a pop. You know, she's like, yeah, there'd be a pop. And I'm like, well, there wasn't. And I don't always have the same symptoms as the textbook anyway. So anyway, I have a physical therapy appointment the next day for my hip. And I'm like, I know how to get in. I'll show them my deformed arm, right? I know how to see a doctor fast. Right. So otherwise it's like, well, you know,
skill.
If you're not dying, you can see somebody in 6 weeks or whatever. So, and we live in a major medical town, and it takes that long to see someone. Yeah. But anyway, I go in, and the physical therapist goes, "Oh no, why? Let me get the occupational therapist." "Oh no, you need to go like straight from here. You'll get an appointment." Da 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 da. So they give me an appointment actually with my hip doctor because he also does hand and wrist injections. So I go to the hip doctor. He goes, "Why are you here?" I'm like,
"What's happening?
Wait, do you see my arm?
Look at my weirdo arm."
And he's like, "Oh, did you hear a pop? See, I'm not crazy." He said the same thing. "Did you hear a pop?" I said, "No, but my hand doesn't work right, you know." And he's like, "Oh, man." He goes, "I don't know what." And he's trying to feel, and he's feeling around. He goes, "Let's do a sonogram," because they have one right there in the room.
Yeah.
And he's scanning it, and immediately I go, "That's a tumor." And
"It's not a tumor." Sorry. Yeah. Oh, that was perfect.
"You don't have a tumor."
It's not a tumor.
"I don't have a tumor." Anyway, and he goes, "Yeah, it is." And I think he was really glad, like, I said that, so he didn't have to tell me it was a tumor. But anyway, I said, "Well, what kind is it?" You know. So anyway, he says, "I think it's fatty," you know, blah, 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 and all this. So to go through a lot of testing and a lot of sonograms. On my third sonogram, I just said, "There is no fetus there," okay? But anyway, nerve test, all these things. Multiple doctors. I think I wound up at the end seeing like four or five doctors because of the nerve involvement was a serious thing. So 2 weeks from that time, then they say to me, they gave me a surgery date, which was like, the 22nd of March. And we're on like the 2nd or 3rd of March or something like that by now. And nobody calls. And I'm like, "Oh, well, it's not as bad as they thought. So they're not calling, you know, they're not moving it up." They kept saying, we're going to have to move it up. It's really bad. You know, you're going to lose more function if we don't get this nerve, you know, released and all this. So I sat back in this place of comfort that I artificially made for myself and said, "Oh, well, they aren't calling, so it's not that bad." So I got a call like 2 days later, and it said, "You need to be here at 5 o'clock, you know, on the 17th. You will have a team of doctors, and you will meet them tomorrow." So they called me on Tuesday. I met my team on Wednesday, and I had surgery on Thursday. And I'm saying, my husband and I are supposed to go camping that weekend, and I'm saying to him, "Well, you know, I think I can still go camping. It's just going to be a couple suture lines, you know," because the team explained to me where this, okay, so the tumor was like a donut, and it was wrapped around my bone, my ulnar bone.
Well, you haven't told them the name of the tumor
The name of, I didn't name it right away either.
Yeah, so, but I think by this point in the timeline.
I wonder if I can remember the name. Fiona. The fatty, effing fatty forearm tumor was its name. And then they
Franny.
Mallory thinks Franny. It's Franny. She's got it
Fanny.
Wrong.
Fanny.
Fiona. I thought about naming a lot of things like Addie for adipose tissue. Posy for adipose. But anyway, Hillary wanted the alliteration. I let her name it.
The alliteration as well.
So anyway, they did explain to me that there would be two suture lines, probably 3 to 4 inches long. Okay, you know, because they couldn't get to this tumor and they couldn't visualize they weren't going to be able to get to it from one side without causing more damage to nerves and all this. And they needed these two, you know, incisions to
get there,
visualize it. Yes. So I went like, okay, get on with it, you know. And so they did. Okay, I totally underestimated my reaction to this. It was the most horrible thing. My arm hurts so bad. Still hurts. Now, it supposedly can continue to hurt for up to a year.
Now, you've been able to write, though. Now, like, you're getting some function back?
I can write, but it's not my writing.
Yeah, but, I'm not meaning to downplay it.
Right.
I'm hoping to tell people, like, you've sewn a couple things?
So sewing's not hard.
Okay.
Oh, hand sewing is. I hand sewed some things. Yeah, that's difficult. Yeah. Because I can't So
can you cut?
I can cut better than I thought.
Okay.
So I cut better with the rotary cutter than I do with the scissors, which is actually kind of how I was before I had surgery. So they had to, even though it involved only one nerve, they had to go in and move the other nerve over too in order to get this guy out, Fiona out. So half of my hand has functional problems and the other half has sensory problems. So I can't feel the thread like between my thumb and my forefinger. So it's really weird. It's a very strange feeling. So because it hurts and continues to hurt and hurts in places that it never hurt before I had this, they're telling me the nerves are healing.
Uh-huh. So it's actually like a good sign.
The other advantage I had is a lot of people that have some sort of nerve issue like this have a severed nerve.
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't have an accident. This tumor grew slowly.
Stretched it out.
And it actually, the nerve wound up being stretched over it. And they thought it was compressed.
Oh, okay.
Which I guess the stretch is similar to the compressed.
Oh, okay.
But it was stretched over the tumor. And your nerve has a sheath, right? I don't know if you've ever seen, like, I don't know.
No, I've never dissected someone's arm like
well,
you have.
Well, I'm trying to think of, like say like copper tubing with a coating on it, you know?
Yeah.
And if you cut it open, you see the copper tubing in the middle, and it has a sheath around it. Well, your nerve is like that.
Uh-huh.
So my sheath is intact.
Okay.
But not my nerve. Wow. So my nerve has to grow. Now, it only grows like a half inch per month.
Uh-huh.
And the eye supposedly have 10 inches to grow.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's like 20 months. But they're taking it back and saying a year.
Okay.
They're saying up to a year. They're even saying like it could be 6 months. I wish it would hurry up, but I am truly grateful for these people and their skills.
And getting you in a little faster.
And getting me in when they were supposed to. I didn't know the wheels were cranking, you know, turning behind my thoughts of, oh, it's not that bad. So I'm very pleased. My sutures were excellent. So I was kind of like the celeb of the orthopedic clinic.
Unsurprising.
The temporary one. They have a new one, I think, every week. And a plastic surgeon resident heard about my surgery and he wanted to close the wounds. So I wound up with, like, you know, 30 something sutures, but they were small and precise and together.
Beautiful.
And yes. So, you know, I woke up with these two beautiful suture lines, and honestly, look, Millie.
No,
like,
I mean, you can't even
see
them.
Right.
Well, they, you know.
Yeah, I went from like.
Okay, yeah.
I went from looking like Frankenstein. Well, here's the other thing. Like, right now, they look a little discolored. So when it gets cool, they look discolored.
They look
when it's
when you're
warm,
cold,
they tend to fade. You know.
The one on the outside of your arm is really.
I know, my
subtle.
Freckles. I think
yeah,
my
your
freckles
hide it.
I don't have as many freckles like on the underside. So I'm very fortunate, but it was a bitch to go through. I will not deny that.
No, like,
I was trying to be heroic and it was awful.
Yeah, the reason we haven't been podcasting, I guess it's not like, I mean, pain is such a huge thing.
Right.
I mean, it's just huge.
I've just been, it knocked me for a loop.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, well, and then my hip. So then, you know, we're trying to
still
go.
Still working on your hip.
Doing all this stuff. Well, I was worn out, like, what happened when we, you know, found the tumor, the whole thing was quick find out what it is so we can quick get it out.
Yeah.
And so I was like exhausted by the time we went into surgery.
Yeah.
I had been, you know, with a different specialist.
Your timeline here, I was like looking back at the podcast, you know, when we've published, our last one was March 4th.
Right.
And we, like, missed a week there,
I think we, and
because
I have notes here, and I think we must
dog
have.
Dog gaps and stuff, you
we
know.
We must have recorded on the 2nd of March.
Yeah.
I had surgery on the 17th.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now it's, what is it now, May something?
It's May 5th today.
Okay.
Sam's really getting this out fast.
Everybody. So I'm, like, at, what, 7 weeks or something?
Yeah.
So that, you know. And good, it's good.
Yeah.
You know, the pain is very frustrating, especially because I didn't go in with the pain.
Yeah.
You know, and I came out with it. And it's surprise of pain.
Uh-huh.
So it's not hurting and you think you're okay. And then you do something and then all of a sudden it's like, wah, 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 like that. Yeah. So I posted some some bags that I made for the boat stuff. I have sewn a few things. I sewed a few things for a musical play that Mallory's in called Fun Home.
Which is also alliterative. This podcast can be called
the Fun Home Fiona.
Fiona, the frickin' fatty forearm tumor, and Fun Home. Okay, so since, man, I hope people wanted to hear about this surgery because it's 15 minutes.
Just blur past it. But wait till the very end because I learned a tidbit today about vodka that I'm going to tell you about.
More about vodka? Right. Okay, well, we're gonna take a break real quick, and we'll come back with stuff about Fun Home and vodka, I guess. Finlandia vodka? No. Okay, we'll be back. This week's episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by Annie's Kits Club.
Oh, Mallory, tell me about this.
Sure. So it's a monthly subscription. I think we're all familiar with how these things can work.
Right.
Right? Send you a new kit. But Annie's knows that we all have very diverse interests. So ask me how many kit options Annie's has.
How many kit options does Annie's have?
Seven. There's the General's Annie's Kit Club. So that's just a little bit more, you know, general creative stuff. Get a little surprise. There's the Simply Beads Kit of the Month.
All right. That one might be for me.
That would be up your alley.
That might be for me.
Okay, this next one's for me. Love to Knit Socks Club. I love that because I just love to get the project,
right?
Get the yarn I need. Ta-da.
You can sit down and do it.
I don't have to figure out. I don't have to go to a Ravelry.
Well, that is the nice thing about a kit.
Yes, yes. And then this is the one we got to sample, and it's adorable. The Young Woodworkers Kit Club.
Yeah.
So we were able to sample the product, and my kids got to assemble and paint and decorate a candy vending machine.
Cool.
Through the Young Woodworkers Kit Club. And, you know, we have a lot of sewing stuff on hand, right?
Right.
Not that I wouldn't order some more, but I thought, hey, let's try out the Young Woodworkers Club.
So, but it's right there, and you know it's there.
With a little hammer. It was adorable. Came with the paint. Came with a little brush.
Right.
It was just awesome. The kids really loved to make it, and they loved making it together because they got to take turns.
Right.
Okay, you hammer this nail, you hammer that nail. It was super duper awesome. So then we have the Charm Pack Club for you quilters out there, and we have the Moroccan Tile Crochet Afghan Club.
Whoa.
So that can take the pressure off you a little bit. You know, it's basically like a block of the month club.
Okay, so I don't really understand this. Do you say, I want this particular kind, and then that's what you get every time?
That's right. So you sign up.
So you join that particular club.
Yep.
Okay, so, and then you get, like, you might get the candy machines 1 month, and then the next month you might get a seesaw.
That's right. So first go to annieskitsclub.com, and then you're going to choose your craft.
You know what you want to get into. Your interest.
And you're going to sign up for that. Now, we have a special offer. Listeners of Sewing Out Loud can get 75% off the first month of a kit subscription.
Oh, hey, go for it.
Yes, wonderful. The code is SewingOutLoud75. Like we said, we love these people. They do awesome stuff. I was super satisfied with the woodworking kit. But yeah, you could sign up for, you know, multiple clubs if you wanted.
Like, and then you're getting sent one every month.
Every month.
Okay.
And so, yeah, if you are interested in sparking a love of craft in, you know, some kids in the lives of kids that you know, your kids, grandkids, that's a good option. Or if you want to spoil yourself and get your, you know, knit sock of the month kit like I am contemplating doing for myself, that's another option.
Or something like that could also lead to, okay, now I have 10, 12 gifts for Christmas time.
Absolutely.
Or Hanukkah or whatever.
You
right.
You can pace yourself across the year.
Actually, the kids' woodworking thing sounds like great. Like birthday party gifts.
Well, it's wonderful. Also, it's great, like rainy day fun.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great for if you need to be inside for whatever reason that they were having a really good time. And it took us, you know, we could have split it up, kind of took us like an afternoon.
Right.
And it was really wonderful. And then the great thing I appreciated is they told you had to sand before you painted the wood.
There you go.
That's some, they get some cred with you on that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the kids ask me, why do I have to sand?
Yeah.
You know, and I got to tell them, this is what you do. You got to sand before you paint wood.
That's
okay?
Right.
Sugar would tell you
grip.
This. Okay. Yes. Yep. Got to grip it. All right, everybody. So go to annieskitclubs.com. Use the code SEWINGOUTLOUD75 for 75% off your first month's
Make
subscription.
Sure I have that code. I know
okay,
that.
Okay. It's SEWINGOUTLOUD75.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. Okay.
Yes.
Do you want to share the vodka thing now or after we talk
and
about it?
Fiona is not here.
Fiona.
She's gone.
She's not there. She's
gone
not
with a
guest
little hunk of muscle, apparently. Okay. So Mallory is in this play called Fun Home.
Are you going to share the vodka thing? What's the vodka?
No.
Okay,
I'm doing that at the end. I'm doing that right before we so long.
Huh? I'll talk about Fun Home then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm in this show called Fun Home. Fun Home is a musical that was adapted from a graphic novel memoir by Alison Bechdel. And those of you who don't know who Alison Bechdel is, you may still have heard of the, quote, Bechdel test. And it's a test you can put like a TV show or a movie through, and it's about representation of women in the media. So it's like, is there a woman in the show? Is she a, like, sort of lead character? Does she have to be connected to a romantic partner? Is her destiny defined by someone else? And the, sort
does
of
she
can,
get to talk?
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's like this kind of what's the word? Like a scale.
Right.
You know, and so if it's like high on the, quote, Bechdel test, it means that it's like it's a piece of art or a piece of media that's centered around a woman, like, with agency in her own story. Now, actually, though, Alison Bechdel says she didn't actually come up with that.
Oh, that somebody
a friend,
else did. Yeah.
Like a friend of hers mm-hmm. came up with it. She described it in her writings, or she's done a lot of work, and so it's been
so
like
her
attributed
friend sort
to her.
Of made the scale from her.
Yeah,
writings,
so she feels bad that like she's getting credit for it, and this friend is not, and I don't know the name of the friend. Sorry about that. So anyway, Alison Bechdel's like a real person. She wrote this graphic novel memoir. It's like a comic book. It's super dense. It's really beautiful. It's go check it out from your library. Or buy it. She is a the show's really complex. So
it's very complex.
Yeah, there are three Allisons in the show. There's sort of like present day Allison, who is remembering her past.
And that's Mallory.
Yeah, so I'm Big Allison or Big Al. And present-day Allison is remembering her time in college when she came out of the closet as a lesbian and told her family and discovers that her father was a closeted gay man throughout, you know, his entire life, his entire marriage to her mother. And she's also remembering times in her youth, like when she's like 9 years old, issues in her family, that happened, you know, her sort of dysfunctional family life. She was raised in this old Victorian house that her father was rehabbing, and he ran a funeral home. That's why the memoir and the musical are called Fun Home.
So it's short for funeral.
Yeah, they used to call it the Fun Home for, you know, for a joke. So she's so there are those three Allisons. There's the 9-year-old, the 19-year-old, and the she's 43.
42, I thought.
No,
43.
She says, now I'm the one who's 43.
Okay.
So anyway, there are those three Allisons. She's remembering all this stuff and drawing throughout the show. And the really cool thing about this is those of you who are familiar with some of the content on the blog and et cetera, I had an art mentor named Frank Stack, and he gave me this memoir when it was published, like before it was turned into a musical.
We're talking, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was like 2000. I think it may have been published in like 2005, but he must have given it to me like 2008 or something.
Okay.
He gave me a copy and he's like, you gotta look at this. This is so dense. This is amazing. It's well written. It's, you know, and he was a big comic book guy. He was part of the underground comics kind of like scene. And he's the one who I went to Paris with and made that lithograph of the thread with your presser.
And she also went to a comic they all met in Europe.
Well,
what was
kinda.
That about?
Like, yeah, there was some sort of. It was a birthday party.
Oh, okay.
But there were very important people
a
there.
Lot, like, but there were a lot of cartoonists yes. there.
So if anybody knows who, like, Robert Crumb is, I've got a sketch in my journal from that time of Robert Crumb. I let Robert Crumb draw in my sketchbook and let him give it to someone else, which is an expensive mistake. So anyway, I have this connection to the work via this art mentor, which is really neat. And then I've got this past as a performer, and it's really exciting to be on stage singing and acting and drawing. So she's supposed to be working on the book. In the musical.
And costuming.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, exactly. So, I at the end of the show, the way we did it, I get out drawings and kind of lay them out. And I got to do all those drawings. You know, I did them with, like, the dip pen, you know, in, like, the traditional way that Alison Bechdel did. I draw throughout the show. I sketch my castmates, etc. It's really cool. And then, because we live kind of, I feel like, in a version of like an older house with a bunch of stuff in it, I ended up providing a lot of the props
right.
and the furniture and stuff. So the drafting table is...
Well, the drafting table...
Jerry's.
So...
Yeah.
Her father can't remember if it was her grandmother's or her grandfather's, but it's been in the family. It's on its third generation with
Mallory.
Yeah,
so there is this table that I kind of stay at or I come back to, or it goes into college Allison's room.
And Mallory hasn't actually said this, but she is on stage the entire time. She never leaves the stage.
Unless someone breaks glass
well,
on
that
stage
happened.
And I have to do something. Okay, so anyway, I have this drafting table and a couple other props. Actually, a lamp of ours is at the theater. Mm-hmm. It's not being used, but it's at the theater. I need to bring it home. It's being used in the back.
I saw a couple of bags of mine.
Bags, costumes.
Coffee cups.
Coffee cups. Yep, things like that. So it provided
so
a lot of those.
Mallory's playing Allison and Middle Allison. No, it's Little Allison. Little Allison is wearing Mallory's Alice in Wonderland
that's very true
dress that I made her 25 years ago or something.
Little Allison, it's small Allison.
Small
I have
Allison,
to remember.
Okay.
Okay. Small, medium, and big. I'm just Allison. But small Allison is wearing L.A. Finch fabrics on stage.
Yes.
She is wearing a striped rib knit turtleneck. And I ordered that. See, the thing about this, which is so cool, is I started rehearsing for this play before
pre-pandemic.
The pandemic.
Yeah.
So we were supposed to open in like April of 2020. Haha, right? And I had ordered fabric to make this shirt, just like a t-shirt basically for Small Allison, and never got to do it. And it is the same actor. She's a bit bigger now, taller, but same actor. And so anyway, that's kind of cool. So I built that. And so yes, I did the costumes. And for the costumes for Fun Home, we've got like three different storylines, okay? The parents exist in both of the earlier storylines. They're there in College Allison and Small Allison's
right.
world.
Right.
And then there's college-age Allison, medium Allison. She has a character in her timeline named Joan, and that's like Allison's first girlfriend, the first person that she has a relationship with. So there, that's another character. And then there is a young man in the show who plays like several different roles. So he needs a bunch of different costumes. There's two brothers of Small Allison, mm-hmm. and there's the mother. So the director agreed, okay, let's not go crazy with the costume changes. And it's almost impossible to do it because at one point the dad is talking to College Allison and then switches and is talking to Small Allison. So he can't, you know, the costume is not going to do the work there.
Well, the other thing is the time is not linear.
That's right.
It's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Yeah.
I can still, sometimes I'm on stage at a 100% real performance and I'm like, I can't remember what scene comes next.
No, it really does go back and forth.
What are we doing next? Okay. Oh, all right. Now I hear the music. Now I know. But I'm like, wait, are we jumping this way? It's challenging in that way. You know, every show has its own, you know, challenges, and that's one of them.
So costuming, if something's not linear, can be definitely an issue, especially if there's no time to change clothes or the people, you know, especially if a character stays on stage when the time
changes.
Is unlinear.
Yeah.
Right.
So
Unlinear.
So anyway, we decided the costumes wouldn't do the work there. You know, it's him talking to the other characters, you know. So like medium Allison basically stays in the same outfit the whole time, you know, and then Small Allison, same thing. Actually, the father has more costume changes because he goes to some different places. She references. She says something. There's a scene that's really all about how Small Allison doesn't want to wear a dress. She doesn't want to wear the Alice in Wonderland dress.
She doesn't want to wear the dress I made for her.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, we need to repair that before tonight. I've got a performance tonight. It's got a little rip in it. So,
surprise.
Right. I mean, it's 20 years old. I think she's in the grade that I was in when you made it for me. Like, I was in sixth or seventh grade.
So, weren't you like 12?
She's
12. 20 years old. Yeah.
Exactly. So, anyway, the costumes I could use, actually, I ordered a lot of stuff off of Amazon. I ordered, you know,
which is what you do in the real costuming world, if no one believes it or not. We used to order from, what was that place, Theater House?
Yeah.
You know, and they would have all this, like, chintzy little stuff that might only last one show, but that's all you needed it.
Well, something that was nice about ordering a few of these things off Amazon is they didn't have any branding on them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
What is available to us,
right.
Like, actually, I ordered these white long-sleeve turtlenecks. There is a point in the show where there's like a little fantasy sequence and there's this like trio. It's sort of supposed to be like Partridge Family.
It's kind of Partridge Family takeoff.
Sorta.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would call it.
Okay. And I needed just plain white turtlenecks. Well, I found them on Amazon by searching white turtleneck and they have no tags.
No tags.
I think that might be illegal. There is not a tag on them. It doesn't say what they're made out of.
I've magic markered many a Nike white swish, with black or whatever before, too. Sometimes it happens. Yeah.
You know, though, like, right? So
right.
I was like, okay, I want no branding on these. So that was good.
No, I'm saying I have magic markered, the white swish on the black shirt.
Oh,
so
okay.
I have a black shirt.
Yes, yes, yes. So got those. And then the one thing I did build from the ground up were those Partridge Family costumes.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I ordered the turtlenecks, but then we had this wonderful, kind of looks like a couch a little bit. 1970s fabric.
I think it probably is upholstery fabric. It's pretty heavy.
It's a
canvasy thing.
Honestly, I was like, this is a bit heavier than I want it to be, but the well.
It looked really good.
It's bright yellow and orange.
And a little brown in it.
Yeah, but like everything else. So enough brown to be like, this is
and
the
you
70s.
Know, you know why it looks like the 70s?
It's from the
70s. From the 70s yeah.
So it's the right kind of yellow and brown to look like it's from the 70s. But the set is very spare. It's yeah. not very colorful. It's kind of muted tones. And then they come out and it really looks like, right. whoa, this is a fantasy
And they're like
sequence.
Dancing on the furniture you know, yeah. with, you know, a light. And it's actually a dream sequence. It's what it is.
Yeah.
She's
well,
dreamt it, right?
She's, it's, I wouldn't, like, she, it's
or
not
she's
like
imagining
she,
it. I don't
when
know.
When I think dream sequence, I think of like Fiddler on the Roof and they're in oh. bed. So I call fantasy sequence.
Okay.
you know, she is imagining.
Yes,
imagination.
It's an imagination yeah. thing. Yeah.
So they come up there. It's bright. I should be able to post some pictures. And then is he the guitarist in the pit? I think he's probably around your age. You know, he's a retired guy who now does a lot of playing
stuff.
In the pit, you know, for shows and stuff. And he's like, oh, I could just tell those are straight from the 70s because I could look in some like church photo album and see those, you know, those people because they all match,
right,
you know,
yeah.
it's all, it's very.
The same colors.
Yeah. It's very, It's
campy. Like when I had to meet your dad wanted a
yes,
costume, remember? He was supposed to dress like he dressed in high school,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I made him like a tunic.
Uh-huh.
And I said, here's three fabrics for you to choose from. And he's like, well, how do I know that they look like the 70s? I go, because they're from there.
Yeah, so, they're all, don't yeah. don't you worry.
You don't even have to worry because they're all from the 70s.
Don't worry, your pretty little
yep.
hat off,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's so, all where they're from.
I think that, now, I had some challenges. So when I first went, first of all, I was going to make these girls jumpers. And I'm like, did I hallucinate this jumper pattern? Because I looked for it for a good 45 minutes.
Well, there's jumper patterns.
Or
around.
I was, whatever. I wasn't
yeah,
looking in the
whatever.
Right place. And I was like, I have this idea in my head. And I'm like, did I hallucinate it? The past 2 years, I think I've hallucinated some things. So I was like, this could be the case. And I then ran across another vintage. Once again, this pattern is definitely from the 70s. Like it's.
Like it has the price of 69 cents on it or something.
And it yeah. like ripped a little bit when I opened it.
And there's
it,
no barcode.
Yeah. It's yeah. the paper is browned, you know, things like that. So it is. Genuine. And it's these halter dresses that then have this big wrap belt
right.
that go around them.
Like
so
a sash.
Very flexible, you know, like there's no back to these, you know, almost. And so like I wasn't worried about needing to get like the perfect fit. And they were going to go on fast because the girls who are in the trio are middle Allison and Joan. So they have to change quickly. Be very different looking.
Right.
And anyway, it was a really good, it's a really good costume choice, you
yeah.
know, a really good thing somebody can just like slip on, you know. So it's these halter dresses, but I started cutting them out. And since they aren't super fitted, they take, the pattern pieces are rather large.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to keep in mind. When you see.
Well, anything that's wrapped takes a lot of fabric.
Well, the dresses don't wrap, but the belt does,
right.
and that does take a lot of fabric. But, like, when you see these patterns where things are, like, kind of boxy or like, relaxed fit or something, the pattern pieces are larger. If you have a garment that's a bit more fitted and there's, like, more negative space where you can, like, put the pattern pieces next to each other and move around and play with the layout, you know, right, to save fabric, well, I thought, okay, I've got this gigantic roll of upholstery fabric. I have enough fabric to do whatever I want with, right? That was incorrect. That's not the case. So this big halter, you know, top, so that, you know, there's that link there where the strap is, like, attached to the bodice. Anyway, so there were three lengths of this. One was rather long. One was sort of like a knee length, and the other length was supposed to be a tunic that you wear pants under.
Right.
So I cut the backs long and cut the fronts short. And I was like, okay, how short is this going to be? So that's why they're a high-low hem,
yeah.
actually, is because I was like, I want to give them, they stand up on a couch, you know,
right.
I want to, and short would be fine for the time period, but I didn't want anybody to be like looking up their skirts, right? So to conserve fabric, I did that. Which ended up being just fine. And then the vest is like a long vest, and it's only the front that is the bright yellow. The back is, once again, I think that that twill is from the 70s. That brown.
Easily.
Brown, stretchy, yeah, polyester twill is from the 70s. So the only thing I regret is we didn't really have it in the budget to buy the girls, like, white go-go boots.
You know, I think it was fine because I think, honestly, it would almost distract it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They just wore nude shoes. And
yeah,
it
nude
good.
Character shoes, and they were just fine. So I got to build those costumes. That was really exciting. I'm wearing jeans off of Amazon that are actually like a cropped straight leg, but on me, they're full length, so I didn't have to hem them. And I am wearing a T-shirt that I found at the bottom of Derek's drawer. It's red. But it was kind of tight around, like, my stomach area. So I was like, okay, do I need to, like, insert, like, a panel? Because I sit down.
Right.
And it's like when I sat down, it kind of was, like, bunching up on me, you know. And I was like, okay, do I insert some panels? I wear a button-up over it that's open. So the panels on the side wouldn't have been seen. But I got even scrappier, and I just slid it up the back.
Back and put a space in it.
And I did a little zigzag at the top so it would stop ripping. It's not finished or anything.
Imagine Mallory wearing something that's not hemmed or finished.
It's very hacky. No,
she also brought home the T-shirt that she had made for, you know.
Small Allison,
and there was no neckband on it, no hems.
Well, I was trying. Honor.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I really wanted. Mom wanted to help with these costumes, and I wanted.
No, she was up here, and I thought she might be having a nervous breakdown.
I mean, before.
Oh, when my right? arm. Like, when I had an arm.
Before the pandemic.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. We were kind of like.
Well, we picked all the stuff out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So we were kind of planning on doing this together, and then we had this. The arm thing,
and then the arm thing came up, right?
So I was, I didn't hem or finish Small Allison's T-shirt because I needed to try it on her to make sure everything, you know, was okay. And I was like, I'm not going to go through the trouble of putting the neckband on this T-shirt if it doesn't fit her, you know. So I had made the shirt super long, made the sleeve super long, everything, and then tried it on her, and then Mom comes up. She's like, "Is there anything you need me to do?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know." And she ended up doing the hemming, but I did. I hemmed the Carpenter people's or the Partridge Family stuff. Those are all hemmed.
Okay, so really, Mallory did not think up her own costume that she wore because directly after the play, one of her very best friends walks up to her and says, "Yes, you do know how to dress like a lesbian because." Her good friend, can I say her name?
Because I think Stacey listens.
Stacey Potter.
Stacey's like, you look like me.
She goes, look, you dress like me. And they had on like the same outfit. It was so funny. It was really cute. But yeah. So Stacey had on jeans, a T-shirt, and an open
button-up shirt. Yeah. I think she had the sleeves rolled up, cuffed up. Like, and you know, it's so when I was researching this, researching costuming the show, there is, you know, a big part of this is like, about people, so not just Allison, but like her father, getting to like dress and present themselves and express themselves in the way like that they want to. And she goes into depth, into like pretty deep discussion of it in the graphic novel. Like she felt like her father was trying to sort of over-feminize her,
yes,
in some ways. And then she was, like, really interested in, like, men's clothes. There's a whole thing about French cuffs in the book, right?
There's also a whole song about a woman she sees,
yes,
that is dressed, you know, androgynously, that she's just loves the way she looks.
She's like, I see this, and, right, like, the last...
And I love it. Why do I love it?
Why doesn't anybody else like this? Right. So all this presentation... But when I was researching the costuming, I actually ran across, in the national tour of Fun Home, the woman who played Big Allison was a former Miss America,
mm-hmm,
and people were upset with the way she was costumed. They felt it was too, quote, feminine.
I was going to say too feminine?
Now,
okay.
Then the original writers of the show, like, came, and then I find all this, you know, so this is very meta. I'm, like, researching what other people are saying about the costumes, right? So The original person who played Allison on Broadway was a very, like, slender person, didn't have a big bust. So then we get, like, this Miss America who I think is a little curvier. And people are like, oh, you know, you dressed her differently. And, like, it's like she's wearing, like, Abercrombie and Fitch or something like that because she was, like, in a half-zipped-up, like, track jacket. Mm-hmm. And then the writer of Fun Home comes back and says, you know, no – this person's body might look a little different in clothing than the other person, but like real Allison wears this track jacket or whatever. So, and anyway, it's like the issues are very personal, like to a lot of people. But I wanted to like honor what real Allison looks like. And that wasn't super hard for me. I happen to have dark hair that I didn't
mind
cutting, you know,
like similar to her.
Right. Yes. I got the glasses that she has, and then when I put on these clothes, I don't have a problem of like, okay, I need to hide a curvy bust because real Allison doesn't have a curvy bust or something like that. So it was really it was important to me to like honor it as much as I could, but I also didn't want to like make any of the other characters that then I was costuming like feel less than or, you know, anything like that. So it was just interesting to explore it. You know, I did my best to costume the characters. And you can look at this is a cool thing. It's not just based on a book. It's based on a graphic novel.
There's pictures.
So Joan is wearing a Ramones shirt in the novel. And I put her in her Ramones shirt.
Hers, I'm sorry, but I thought her costume was the best.
Yeah, I really like her. Actually, yeah. So everybody like brought their own pants. Well, we're really lucky. The pants that everybody wears are like back in style now.
Right.
Like I could not, if we did this show when I was in high school, how could I have found like straight leg jeans?
Right.
You know what I mean? Everything was like skinny or kind of flared or something, you know? So we've got those jeans. Joan's wearing my shoes. Those are my boots. Those like maroon kind of lacy uppy boots.
Oh, really?
Those are mine. Yeah. Actually, I wore them to the Fun Home audition. There's a picture. So, and then that jacket's ours. Did you know that jacket
is
ours?
I thought that looks a lot like the jacket we have. I did not know if it was.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's leather.
It's like ripstop.
It's really right. It's really a nylon jacket, but on stage it looks like leather. That's why I always
bikery.
That's why I always kept that jacket.
Yeah,
because it was just it's like you could pass it off as leather and not be sweltering in it.
Yeah. So then there's Joan, and also there is like an intimacy scene. So we had to think about how people are going to take off clothes. They're all wearing Converse. I'm wearing Converse. All the Allisons are wearing Converse, and like Chuck Taylors, right? Like high top Chuck Taylors. So we were like thinking about how we're going to get these shoes off because middle Allison sings this whole song in like a pair of underwear and a shirt, you know?
Yes, and I'm amazed how she did that and how she looked and how she brought it off. She was in like white cotton underpants.
So I don't think she'd mind me telling you this, but I was like, hey, listen, I care about like your comfort on stage and what you want and what we want to do. And the director's talking to me, she's like, oh, well, can she like put on two pairs of underwear? And I'm like, not two pairs of whitey tighties. So she's wearing like whitey tighties. And I was like, because people will see she's wearing two pairs of whitey tighties and that will look silly. So she's wearing a skin color thong underneath.
Right.
And that, I was like, are you comfortable? And she's like, well, like, what can you see? And I was like, listen, I'm in the most professional way possible. I'm like really looking at your butt and your crotch.
Yep.
And they look very like, no one's making any guesses about what's under
there. They were very Sears catalog-ish.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
You know, it was like an underwear model.
I was like, they're not distracting.
No. And her shirt was long.
Yeah, well,
but you
know,
still saw her white under butt pants.
Yeah, you
butt.
Could see her butt. I actually had her in a different shirt originally.
Uh-huh.
And she is a little on the pear-shaped side, like so smaller up top and got like a wider hip. And at first, the shirt I had her in, it was just getting caught right on her hip. So you saw all of the underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got her a bigger shirt. And she's supposed to be awkward in this song and kind of like giddy. She's had her first intimate experience, you know, I think ever. And then also being like, I'm a lesbian and this is who I am and I'm so excited. And anyway, I was like, you know, you're feeling awkward or giddy or whatever, pull down the shirt once and it'll stay over your butt, you know? And she's like, okay, you know? And yeah, she's really wonderful vocalist.
She did an excellent job.
Wonderful actress.
And, but there is no way you didn't believe that she wasn't like in that room singing by herself.
Oh yeah. No, she, right. And you know, she's like singing to the sleeping Joan, like singing to her partner for part. It's just, and then like I'm supposed to be like remembering it. Like they're all in my brain, you know? And so I get to like watch it and smile, you know, which was right. It was really fun. And so that shirt, I did some Goodwill shopping. Got her that shirt at Goodwill. I got a couple of pairs of shorts at Goodwill as well for the young man. And then, you know, rest his soul, Derek's grandfather contributed a lot of costumes to this show. So he died, oh, is it 7? He, like, Zelda was a baby, but Jerome hadn't been born yet. Was Jerome just born? So 4 or 5 years ago. And Derek had a bunch of his clothes. And these are not things that Derek would really wear. Like, they were like blazers, like suit coats and things. And Derek just doesn't wear those, like, in his everyday life. So I bring him to the theater just to see if they'll work on people. And it's like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Like, Derek's grandfather was this very, when I knew him, you know, a really short guy.
He wasn't very big.
No. I mean, shorter than Derek, etc. And I bring him these clothes for this tall man, and they fit him. And I was like, this must have not fit Derek's grandpa. You know, like, they must have been too long on this guy. And so, anyway.
Or they fit him before they shrunk.
Right. Maybe he had, you know, some like loss of, you know, height and stuff. But yeah, there's a couple awesome contributions by Derek's grandfather in the show. There is a shirt from Derek. We call it the lawn chair shirt.
Yep.
It looks like it's made from the plaid fabric of like a lawn chair. Yep. So just sourcing things. Sometimes it's easy to find stuff when you're sourcing and costuming a more contemporary show. And sometimes it's hard. I'm trying to think of what the hardest thing was for me to source. Oh, shout out to the woman who introduced Derek and me. She was selling a skirt on Etsy that was a 70s kilt, like a pleated kilt. And I was like, oh, I need that.
I would say those actually were 60s and 70s. Those lasted for a long time.
She actually almost was like, could this be from the 80s?
Because I wore them like in grade school and up through high school. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a pin. It's got the pin.
I actually had one that was like a pink and yellow plaid. And I had like yellow knee socks and a yellow cardigan and a pink Peter Pan.
Well,
collar. She wanted to know where the pin went.
Yeah, because so it came with a pin, right? And so I was like, okay, hey Meg, you know, try this on.
Right.
And she was trying it on, and when she told me I could borrow it, which was so generous, I offered to buy it, but she said I can borrow it. She was like, you know, the button could be moved. It looks like it's been moved.
Right, probably
so has. On these wrap skirts, if you got too big or you got smaller for, you know, if you got the
sometimes they had like several buttonholes.
Yes. You know. Yes. So you know, you could adjust the size of the skirt. Right. So anyway, brought it in. I said, we can move the button or whatever. And so she put it on and she sat down and the skirt spread out too much.
Uh-huh.
It spread out and like showed her knees up to her thigh, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, oh, well, that's what the pin is for, you know. And so when we put the pin in.
Looks like we called them kilt skirts.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, usually a wool and then it was had a fringe. The one edge was frayed often. But lapped over.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you made me a skirt when I was in, like, middle school.
Yeah, but you designed it.
It wasn't pleated, though.
You designed it. Yeah, you wanted. Well, wraparound skirts were popular for a long time. But this one was the kilt design.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So it was pleated in the back. It was a plaid, you know, and it lapped over in the front, and it had the pin. Now, not all wraparound skirts had that pin. A lot of them also were like a circle skirt.
Yeah. So they were like wrapped around enough. So anyway, that was fun to get that in there. The polyester ruffled nightgown that makes an appearance in a lot of shows makes an appearance as a costume piece. Like Allison's mother is an actress or, you know, is doing like a community theater show. A lot of like Mallory, there's
one prop where Mallory came up to the sewing studio, took a bag that was hanging on a clothing rack, you know, and stuffed some costume pieces in it, and that was it.
That's the prop. They go, are these your costumes? You know, and, yes, you know, and she says, be careful.
And I think that denim bag. I actually bought that bag at Goodwill, like when one of you, probably Lindsay, was in high school for a prop piece, and then everybody used it as a real bag at home.
Okay, I feel like I remember that bag from the beginning of my life. You think it's?
I don't think so. Okay. Or did I buy it before that and just used it? But I did. I know I bought it at Goodwill. I know I did.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. So yeah, that denim.
So it's kind of a round duffly bag looking thing.
So
you know.
Yeah, the director.
Made out of denim.
Kathleen, she just kept being like, okay, we needed this. I'm like, oh, we got one of those. She's like, why do you have all this stuff? Like, she's like, what's happening? You know, and I was like, it's just how we are. Like, okay, we just have this stuff, you know.
So, very similar situation. I get a call from number one granddaughter who is 17. And she says.
No, she's 16.
I think she's 17.
No, she's not. I'm 32.
Oh, okay.
She will be
17 in October. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Get it. Oh, that's right. She's ahead of herself in school. I always forget that.
Like me.
Okay. Yes. So I get this text. Prom is Saturday. I need a dress. Do you have anything? And I'm like, well, I don't know.
And I get a text
there
from
could
mom.
Be, right. There could be a size issue, but. You know, I don't know. I'm sure there's something up here, or we'll make something. We have 3 days. I mean, heck.
Yeah, except I have this show every night.
Right, but I have 3 days, and my hand's almost.
I was like, you need me because your hand is messed up.
Well,
you know,
it just takes me longer, which is very, very, you know, frustrating. But so anyway, Catherine will be going to prom in Mallory's dress and my shoes.
My dress from the. My dress, the sheer dress from the wedding.
That she wore to the wedding.
Yes.
It's a black mesh, lacy, black sequiny thing. And
it may have been like the last Instagram post I posted.
It
actually,
may have been. So anyway, and Catherine has a big bazoom. So yeah. The stretch came in handy there.
Yes. So, that... It's, you know, when it
it's
rains,
funny because I put her in the dress, you know, and she goes, well, now I need shoes. And I'm like, oh, well, we have to go to my closet.
Yeah.
We're like, we were in your closet, and then we went to my closet.
Yeah. So did she try on the other sheer one?
You know,
she not like
she
it?
Said, I want to try this one on because I don't want to wear all those pieces. She was worried about comfort. She didn't want to have to wear something under it and all this. Hey, listen.
Yep. When you're talking to a 16-year-old 3 days before prom,
you do not tell them what to wear.
Okay.
Are you happy with this?
Yes, I am.
And then she did kind of have a boob meltdown almost at one point, which I understand because they're bigger than anybody she knows.
I mean, everybody.
They're not like anybody else's.
Like, everybody has had a body meltdown, and you know, then
about
ones,
something.
The ones you had at 16 were very intense,
right.
And yeah, I know.
Absolutely. I swear, she has like all these artsy friends, right? And they're like these tall string bean people, like they don't look like her. She's the only one that looks like her in the group,
and you're already just so aware,
right.
Of like. I'm different than people in this way and this way and this way. And
but I told her I can't remember her one girlfriend's name, that's the blonde, and she's always putting all these funny outfits. I say funny because they're different. They're exquisite. She puts all these
Catherine
outfits together.
Cool.
And
friends.
I said, what is her name? Darn it. I said, she will think this is cool.
Yeah.
So
yep.
That helped.
I've always gotten a lot of compliments on that dress. I've worn it to two weddings now. Okay. Let's talk about. Just real quick, how cool kids dress these days. I think there's like more room for creativity.
Okay,
and it's cooler
I just went to an awards ceremony for Catherine. She received it. Catherine has
it's
gone
amazing.
From probably being something in musical theater to singer to musician to creative writing, and the creative writing seems to be the thing that she is. Ready to go on, and she has gotten a lot of awards and a lot of feedback about her writing. And then she told me my hair looked historic, so I assume that's
historic.
I assume that's some creative.
Sounds like. Did they say anything slapped? That's a thing.
Oh no! Okay. I know that's a word.
You heard that, okay.
But no, I was like, you mean old, like historic? Like I am historic,
like you
sweetie.
You need to be preserved.
Yeah, you want
to
know anything about history? Ask me. But anyway,
where does this kilt pin go?
Anyway, so I am standing there, and of course there is a reception before the ceremony, so you really don't know exactly who's the kid that's getting an award or anything. But I'm like looking at all these people because I'm also the oldest one there. I've decided. Everybody's parents were there. My daughter and son-in-law could not be there because they were at things at their school that they had to be there for. So anyway, I'm watching these kids and I'm watching. Okay, so they wear everything. They wear anything they want. Oh my God, why couldn't I do that?
What the hell?
Why?
No, I'm so I'm
just
upset
the dog.
No, I actually two
no,
years ago.
Why couldn't I? I mean, there were jeans. There were like.
There's everything.
Sports shorts, you know, like little, I mean, and everybody was happy.
No.
Everybody was walking across
two years
what
ago.
They liked. And I'm like, maybe decorum is lost or maybe this is the decorum.
Yeah, like the fact that so many things are acceptable nowadays, I think is wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so 2 years ago, the director of Fun Home, she is a high school, she teaches at the school where Catherine goes, actually. And I went to her classroom to just meet with her about Fun Home. So I wasn't like talking to the students or anything, but I was just like talking to her, meeting with her. And I was like, these kids, they're wearing like crop tops. They're wearing this. They're wearing that. Like there was no homogeneity.
Right.
I just thought it was so cool. And like, you know, when I was in high school, well, in high school, you could like show your stomach.
That was your Easter egg phase.
That was my Easter. No, I was pushing the boundaries for sure. But like, I remember in junior high, I was in this class. It was like mini show choir. And if I raised up my arms while I was dancing and like a little bit of skin showed from like between my jeans and my shirt.
That was the teacher.
I know. But they were allowed to be this way.
Right.
Right. She was like, I'm going to have to send you home. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like dancing. I'm not.
She's in a t-shirt.
Like, well.
I mean,
also, other people, this happened to other people, and I didn't see them get called out, you know?
Yeah, it's
so
kind
like,
of funny. Yeah, they can,
you know?
Anyway.
Well, anyway, so, like, I think that, like, the policing of the bodies in some areas is going away. I hope that we can continue that trend so much. I hope for, like, all, you know,
no,
for
I got
everybody.
Kind of mad.
I know. I'm totally jealous.
You know,
jealous.
There was this girl I went through junior high and high school with. And she would have been described as the artsy type, right? You know, in the Breakfast Club, she would have been, what's her name?
I don't know what her name is.
The dark-haired girl's name.
Yeah.
What's her name? Oh, anyway.
I mean, the dark-haired girl.
Somebody knows out
club.
There.
Yeah.
And I used to. But anyway, you know, she was kind of like her. And she had this, you know, kind of a funky haircut. And she had this big tortoiseshell barrette that I loved. You know, and she... I wanted to be like her, and I was afraid to.
Yeah.
And now I'm mad I was afraid to.
Yeah. No,
you know.
I have to be.
Diane. Her name was Diane. If you're out there, Diane, I thought you,
thought
were,
you were so
cool.
Yeah. Zelda,
and why didn't I just go up to her, too, and say, you were so cool.
Zelda is starting to want to express herself through
clothing.
And she's
doing it.
A little more. And
A little more. Zelda expresses herself in clothing a lot.
Okay, and you know what she possesses that I did not possess at this age? So, one, the ability to put her underwear on correctly. We've talked about that. Two, she is accessorizing and, like, doing it in a way where she's not getting distracted at school because she wanted to wear this, like, big chunky necklace. And she wanted to wear this flower crown. And she wanted to wear this and that and the other thing. And I said, if that's a distraction during class, Mrs. Ross will have to take it away. Well, she keeps coming home with the stuff on.
Well, but,
and I'm like, well, good for you. So
but see, I also think Mrs. Ross is not got the same tapes playing in her head that my first grade teacher had.
But for sure. But also, I think Zelda is being like a responsible. She's only in first grade. I would be screwing that with that flower crown constantly. I would get it taken away. That's what I'm saying.
She's like, very comfortable. Right.
Well, and I said on the playground, that glass, you gave her that necklace, right. The glass necklace.
Right.
I said, you got to tuck that in your shirt when you go to the playground and you like hang upside down. Otherwise, it'll hit you in the face.
Right.
You know?
And,
yeah,
whatever.
Right. Exactly. I was like, you don't want to get hurt, you know, running. And she's like, I tuck it in my shirt at you know, recess. I was like, you're so responsible.
Well, here's the thing. When I went to school, and, you know, however many of us are still alive, but anyway, there were rules.
Like, lots of rules. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I had to wear a dress or a skirt.
Yeah.
I couldn't wear pants. And if I wore pants under my skirt to school, this is grade school all the way up. If I wore pants under my dress because it was 20 below at the bus stop, I had to go immediately to the restroom and take them off. I was not allowed to, like, walk around the hall with them on or anything.
Yeah.
Okay, and here's what I did one time. I was in my cheerleading uniform. Talk about a short skirt. I don't know why they let us wear those. I swear you could see my butt in it. But anyway,
they let us wear that, right?
Yeah. Okay, but not on regular clothing days or whatever, which when if you're a senior cheerleader and you wear your cheerleading, you know, garb on game days, that's literally 4 days a week anyway. But anyway, I took my pants off at my locker. I opened the door, you know, and just let them fall.
Yeah, did you get in trouble?
Yeah, I got a, you're supposed to be, you know, a model student kind of. And you know, I think about that thing. So they went in there and made me feel like awful about myself.
Absolutely.
And I was only exposing what they had told me I had to wear that day.
So, I mean, I think this does tie back to Fun Home with that whole scene about the dress and everything that little Allison's being, like, forced to wear. So our ideas, like society's ideas of what's acceptable to wear, they have changed throughout the centuries. And they're completely dependent on the time and the place you're in. There's no, like, overall this is what's good or bad. Like, it's changed depending on, you know, the time and place. Also, the time and place we're in right now and that you're talking about, like, this all just serves the patriarchy. It's all about, you know,
I was wondering if the patriarchy would slip in here today.
Yeah, well, it's everywhere, yes. You know. So, you know, I really want to make sure that I'm letting my kids, like, wear what they want to wear. Like, if they're safe and happy and healthy, go for it.
If it's safe and healthy. Like I said, I was, you know, I'm watching, honestly, it was like I was watching a fashion show.
Yeah, I know. No.
You know, I was watching, well, even how the teachers dress.
You know, I think.
You know, the teachers were not a lot. The teachers had to look like June Cleaver.
And
there were very few men.
Uh-huh.
Many, many more men are teachers.
Many more men teachers now. Yeah. The other thing is, what was I going to say? You know, we do also cool about the time and place we're in. Like, there's a lot more accessibility to different clothes,
true.
I think. Like, it is easier to order
and
things.
Part of that,
and stuff,
I saw a lot of fast fashion.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, that's very true. Yeah. But then a lot of these kids are all about, like, the thrifting and the DIY and all that.
That was Hillary. Yeah. She was all about thrifting when she was in school.
Well, I just asked in the Self Sewn Wardrobe group if people wanted an hour long Sewing Out Loud episode, and we have given it to them.
Okay.
Thank you all so much for waiting.
Yes.
Are you waiting for my tip? I am.
So Mallory and I have been known to tout the wonderful characteristics of vodka and what it can do for you in your life besides make you tipsy, right? And I heard one this morning. I have not tried it, so I'm going to let y'all know, okay, is you put a splash of vodka in your flower water so that the bacteria and the slime don't grow on your stems because that is what takes the oomph out of your cut flowers.
Ta-da!
So we'll see. I'm going to try it.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening. We hope to be back with you next week. We're going to take it easy. You know, if ZD gets struck down by the arm pain, I don't want to put any pressure on her, but I hope we'll be back next week too. So ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.